in our way. But the following Wednesday, they will continue the study of people in the Bible and what we can learn from them on the following week. Please spend time in God's Word and prayer this week. Continue to pray for God's leading in the search for a pastor. And there was a requirement to revise the church bylaws, and the proposed copy started to be handed out last Sunday. So if you have not received a copy, please get one today at the back before you leave and read the document through in detail during this week. Because on Sunday, September 15th, there will be a brief meeting immediately following the service for any discussion on the document, and there will be a vote regarding accepting the revised bylaws. So our speaker next Sunday will be Mr. Robert LeBlanc, and today we welcome a very familiar face, Mr. Wendell Phipps. Okay, and now let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today with thanks for all of your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for loving us and sending your Son Jesus to us. Thank you for your promise to be with us always. We have come here this morning to worship and praise you. We bring all our worries and troubles, and we give them over to you as we seek your grace and mercy. We continue to pray for guidance as we search for a pastor, knowing and trusting that you will provide according to your will. We pray for safety of travel and good weather for Kevin and Dawn while they are away. May they return to us restored and refreshed. Our hope is in you, O Lord. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and let us feel your presence as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And
our scripture reading today is going to be a responsive reading, i.e., I will read the white print and you will read the yellow print. So we will do our scripture, which comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 16. Oh. Okay, there we are. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay, got it. There we go.
O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you.
As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot.
The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope.
For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption.
And let us read the last verse together. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. I'm happy to be with you this morning. It's been quite a journey the past few months. I don't know what it's been like for you, but God still continues to be in control, and I appreciate God for that. Today we're going to share a message that people sometimes wonder, does God still care? God is a God who sees. You are the God who sees. Got to get in the right area to move forward. You are the God who sees. Now, our eyesight is not like God's. We see a few feet ahead of us. We see a few moments ahead of us. We can't see much more than that. But we have to trust God's eyesight, because this is what we see. Wow. That guy, wow, he's lucky. He just fell 10 feet off of the highway. But this is what God sees. You see the car up there? Same shot, just hundreds of meters down. That's how God sees things. And unless we trust God, do you see the truck? Have you seen? I don't know if the pointer works on this. Yeah, right here. That's that same truck. You see it? That's the same truck you just saw. I went back. That's that truck. Now here it is in God's view. Same truck. That's what God sees, and that's a God that we serve, that we can trust, that as he sees what he sees, he prepares us and protects us in that. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God says to Abram, go. I want you to go to a place I have prepared for you. Can you imagine someone calling you on the phone and saying, listen, I need you to move. Where am I moving to? Don't worry, I'll show you. When am I moving? Right now. Take whatever you can and go. How would you like that? Many of us have, how many of you were not born in Canada? Okay? And when God said to your parents, we want to believe God said to your parents, go, they said, yes, we're going to go because we want to give our children an opportunity for a better life or what have you. God said to Abram, go, and Abram did not question what God told him to do. Again, back then it was different. You didn't rent a U-Haul. You packed up all your stuff in a tent. And your tents, your living, your animals, and you moved where God told you to go. And I can only imagine what it must have been like for Abram to go through that. I'm going to do something, if you don't mind, guys. I'm going to use my... I have a remote that sometimes behaves a little better. Thank you for your patience. Let's plug it in on the front here. Okay. Let's see how this does. So we find then that God told Abram to move, and he moved. He said, I will follow you, God, wherever you send me, because I know you have something in store for me. And that took a lot of faith on Abram's part. We probably wouldn't have that kind of faith. So he moved all the way from Ur, all the way over to Hebron, onto the places that God sent him. But God has something else in store for him. Excuse me. Okay? And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. God promised Abraham that he would have nations from him. And Abraham and Sarai, at the time, did not have any children. So Abraham says to God, well, is my servant going to be the heir of my family? Is this where all of my descendants will come from, my servant? And God says, no. Then he brought him outside. Look now toward heaven. Count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So God has promised Abram children and descendants that would bless the whole world. But there was something, again, that was not quite right. She's not having any children. His wife is not. So Sarai said to Abram, see, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Okay. We understand, Sarah, how you're feeling. God has promised you many descendants. So Sarai at the time says, I want you to go to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. There's a great quote that says, there's no right way to do the wrong thing. There is no right way to do the wrong thing. Whatever excuse you may tell yourself, whatever way you think you're going to work around it, there's no right way to do the wrong thing. So Sarai says to Abram, I want you to go to my maid, marry her, sleep with her, and that's how God will give us our children. Now, I don't know if surrogacy was a thing at the time, but this is kind of what Sarai is saying. But if God has promised you something, he will keep his promise. We just have to be patient. We just have to wait. God is telling us now he's coming again. Some people have forgotten that and say, nah, it's not going to happen. It's been so long. We've been waiting. But God never, ever forgets his promises. So Abram goes with the handmaid. She's with child. And now that she's with child, she feels a specialness, if I can do that. How many of you younger women lived at home with your mom for a while? I'm not talking about when you like became an adult. You know? Was it easy? No. Thank you for being honest. It seems that at a certain age, a child just, anyway, that'd be another sermon. But the fact is, here is Hagar, who is expecting the boss's child, and she has a certain attitude. I'm no longer a slave. I'm the woman. I'm the one who's having the child of the master. So she starts to act up. And here is what Sarai says. Then Sarai said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I.e., this is your fault, man. You shouldn't have listened to me. You should have told me no. I love it how people blame others for their choices. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. This is what Sarai was feeling and thinking. And I don't know where Abram was at this point in his mind. He knew it was his child. He knew that God had promised him descendants. So he's saying, well, what should we do? What should we do? So he says to himself, listen, Sarai, you are the mistress. This is your maid. She's in your hands. She's your responsibility. Do whatever you wish. And the Bible says Sarai dealt harshly with her, and Hagar fled. She ran away because of the harshness. I would wonder what it would be like to be in that situation. You did nothing wrong. You did what you were told. As a slave, you didn't have a choice. And if your mistress says, I want you to sleep with my husband so we can have children, you're just supposed to say, okay. But now she runs. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. There's something amazing about our God. No matter how wrong we may be, he still comes looking for us. He still seeks us out. Sometimes we think that when we do wrong, God says, forget you, I want nothing to do with you. God comes looking. And we know there are many instances of that where God came looking. We think back into the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had sinned. God could have destroyed them, but God comes looking. Hey guys, where are you? I can't find you. I don't see you. And they said we were hiding because we felt we were naked and so forth. But God came looking. And that's what he did for this Hagar as well. And the angel said, and Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from? What are you doing out here in the wilderness? Is the question. She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Now, I think it amazing that here she is running from her mistress who's mistreating her. Here she's feeling left out. Here she's feeling that this, I don't deserve this treatment. I didn't do this to myself. Why am I going through this? And the angel says to her, I know how you're feeling, but I want you to go back. What? I want you to go back. Not only does the angel say, I want you to go back, but here's what is promised. I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. The angel says, you're going to have a child. Here's his name. But he's going to be a tough one. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. Understand what we're speaking about here. Ishmael, the father of whom the Muslims believe they come from. They believe they came from Abraham, which is true, Ishmael, the founder of that. And it says clearly, clearly, there will never be any peace with his brethren. Do you hear what I'm saying? There will never, every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. You'll hear some interesting things today. I hope you understand where I'm coming from in my thoughts by God's grace. So Ishmael, the angel says, go back. That's who you'll have. And at that point, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, I have also here seen him who sees me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. You are the God who sees. Do you sometimes wonder if God cares? Do you sometimes wonder if God is even interested in what you're going through? I want you to know that he is a God who sees. He sees everything. Every last thing that we do, yet still he loves us. He sees when we mistreat others, yet still he loves us. He sees when we mistreat, okay, I can go on with so many things that we do as human beings, but God still loves us because he sees us, but he sees us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So Hagar goes back, has a son, Ishmael, and Abraham loves this child. Why should he love this child? Anybody? Why? It's his. It's his. And it's his firstborn son. So he loves this child. He's probably teaching Ishmael how to hunt, how to cook, whatever he teaches his sons. But for Ishmael, this was a special experience that Abraham had. For 13 years, Ishmael was his child. And he believed this was how God was going to create the nations that were to come from him. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. In Hebrew, the name Abram means an exalted father, someone of great respect. Abraham means a father of multitudes. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. That's what God promised Abraham. He would establish a relationship, a covenant with him, a covenant that would show that he was God's child and that God was his God. For generations, descendants would come from Abraham saying that God is God. The land I will give you, you will be a stranger to, but I have a special land for you. And God promised them that land. So how long did Abraham have Ishmael before God gave him Isaac? 13 years. So one day Ishmael, whom Hagar had, of course, was now playing with Isaac. And Sarah saw, this boy is not treating my boy nicely enough. Sarah saw them, and she comes to Abraham and says, listen, you got to get rid of her. She's not good for us. Ishmael is mistreating Isaac. I think he wants to hurt him. Sometimes we see more than is there, but whatever her excuse or reason. But this troubled Abraham because Ishmael was his firstborn. And now he's being told, you got to get rid of him and his mother. But God said to Abraham, don't worry about the boy and your slave Hagar. Do whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that you will have the descendants I have promised. I will also give many children to the son of the slave woman, so that they will become a nation, because he too is your son. This is the God that we serve. His blessings are for all men who serve and trust him. So here he tells Abraham, don't worry, Isaac will be the one that your descendants will come from, but I will also bless Ishmael. I will also bless Ishmael, and he will have many descendants. So early the next morning, Abraham gave Hagar food and water, sent them on their way. And she left. Again, I asked earlier, how many of you came from another country? I was 9 when my family came to Canada. Although it was a very interesting situation. I smile at it now, and I had a good talk with my dad. But my mom and dad weren't having the best relationship at the time. And my dad had planned to leave us in Trinidad. I was born in Trinidad in the West Indies. He had planned to leave us in Trinidad and come to Canada. My mother, smart woman she was, she said, oh. So she got passports, visas for all of us, my brother and I and herself, and met my dad at the airport. Yeah, we're going with you. Okay. Anyway, another story. So here is Hagar, destitute. She's sent away. We don't know how long her food and water lasted. And know that in those days, widows, single mothers, slaves weren't treated that well. So I don't know if people were kind to her, if they gave her extra food or what have you. We don't know how long her food lasted or what she had to do to get more food. But imagine how despondent she felt. She remembered the promise that the angel said, I will bless you and I will bless your child. But now she's destitute. She has nothing to lean on. And I wonder how she felt at that time. What a pain it must have been. So she gets to the place with nothing. The Bible says she ran out of water. All the water was gone. And she didn't want to watch her son die. So she puts him under a bush and goes away from him, because she can't see him die. Hagar got to such a place that she knew her son would die and she would die. Remember what she called God? You are the God who sees. My friends, I don't think any of us have been in the situation that Hagar is in. I don't believe. Because we always have something to fall back on. But she was homeless, not by her choice. She was foodless, waterless, not by her choice. And for a moment, I think she forgot what God had said. Sometimes when we are in our worst situations, instead of remembering what God has said, we think, God, where are you? Do you even care about me? And sometimes we turn our back on God because we think he's turned his back on us. She sat down to watch her child die. The Bible says, God heard the boy crying, and from heaven, the angel of God spake to Hagar and says, what's wrong, Hagar? What's wrong? Can you imagine when God knows what's wrong and he says to you, what's wrong? Oftentimes I think God wants us to voice things because when we voice them, we realize how ridiculous we may be. Can you imagine? There's no food in this house. Have you ever heard a teenager say that? Cupboards are full. There's no food in this house. There's nothing to eat. Now, I'm not picking on you, ladies. I've got nothing to wear. Okay, I'm done. We sometimes forget how good God is to us, and we spend time complaining about our situation. What troubles you, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying. Get up. Go and pick him up and comfort him. I will make a great nation out of your descendants. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw well. She went and filled the leather bag with water and gave some to the boy. I wonder, here she is close to a well, but she's so blinded by her grief, so blinded by her problem, so blinded by her pain that she doesn't see it. Have we ever gotten that place that we're so blinded by whatever it is, sometimes anger, sometimes unforgiveness, sometimes pain, that we don't see the hand of God and we don't trust the hand of God and we take things into our own hands and get ourselves in worse situations. I wonder. But here she finds God says, right there, there's some water. How far away it was, we don't know. But I have a feeling it wasn't that far away. Go over there, get some water, and give it to the boy. The Bible tells us that God was with the boy. He grew up. He lived in the wilderness of Paran and became a skillful hunter. His mother got an Egyptian wife for him. Abraham died at the age of 175 years old. His son Isaac and Ishmael buried him. They came together, even though I don't know what their relationship was like for years until Abraham died. But they came together to bury their dad. After the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac, who lived near the well of the living one, the living God who sees. So God promised Hagar she would have many descendants. God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have many descendants. The Bible says that Ishmael, whom Hagar, the Egyptian slave of Sarah, bore to Abraham, had the following sons. I will name all of their names, but that may not mean as much. Do you know how many children Hagar had? Take a wild guess. Take a wild, wild guess. 12. Take a wild guess. 12. Take a wild guess. 12. Very good. guys are great students. Hagar had 12 children. They are called the 12 tribes of Ishmael. You getting what I'm saying? Before there were the 12 tribes of Israel, there were the 12 tribes of Ishmael. What I'm saying is God is a God of love. He loves everybody and wants to give everyone the opportunity to serve and follow him. Now, we have struggles, and Ishmael and Isaac had struggles. Ishmael lived until he was 137 years old, and there are the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 tribes of Ishmael. We struggle today with the Muslim, Christian, but do you know, through Abraham, the world's greatest religions have come. Through Abraham, there are the Jews. Through Abraham, there are the Muslims. Through Abraham, we can say, thank God that we're grafted in and we're Christians. Through Abraham. Because the God who sees knows that unless we trust him, there will always be strife. Unless we trust him, we will never, ever get where God wants us to be. And in the life of Abraham, in the life of Hagar, God and his faithfulness is all that mattered. God and his faithfulness is all that should matter to us. So no matter what your situation may be, know that God is the God who sees. All of the promises God has given us throughout his word have been fulfilled. One major one remains. Was there a hint in there? One major one remains, and that's the return of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're told there will be ugly things that will happen before Jesus comes again. There'll be persecution, there'll be tribulation. But the fact is, Jesus says, I'm coming again soon. So that where I am, Jesus says, you may be also. So trust in Jesus. Trust his word. Trust in his faithfulness. Elijah. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Because of his faithfulness, you can continue to lean on the everlasting arms. We'll sing our closing hymn at this time, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.